Well, I'm not sure I can match the power and passion of Bishop Corrie's wedding address yesterday, but I will do my best. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been learning about prayer, haven't we, at St. Michael's? Both here in our Sunday sermons and in our midweek house groups, we've been seeking to learn what it means to pray. We've been looking at the different dimensions of prayer, haven't we? The different types of prayer that we can pray in different circumstances and situations. So we've thought about petitionary prayer, asking God for stuff. We've thought about praising God in prayer. We've thought about confessing our sins to God in prayer. And last week at 8:30 a.m., our congregation there were treated to a great sermon by Chris Cozier on the value of thanking God in prayer. Do listen to Chris's sermon on our website if you get the chance. So as we draw today to the end of our sermon series in prayer, I hope you've come to realise some of the value and diversity of prayer. What a privilege and joy it is to speak to our Heavenly Father personally and intimately. What a comfort it is for us as Christians to share our personal anxieties and the needs of others with the Creator of the cosmos. But of course, we wouldn't be being honest with ourselves, would we, if we said that prayer was always easy, if we said that prayer was always a joy and a delight. Because very often our experience is that prayer can be hard, can't it? For example, in our busy lives, prayer can just seem like one thing too many to squeeze into our schedule. On busy days, praying to God can seem like a chore to avoid rather than a relationship to enjoy, something to skip and save time. At other times, the trials and temptations of the world can conspire to keep us from prayer. Things like stress, illness, or some other hardship can knock our faith and really discourage us from praying. I guess we've all had times when we felt too sick, too depressed, just too overwhelmed with life to want to expend yet more effort on our knees in prayer. I know I certainly have. And thirdly, we've all had times, I'm sure, when we just don't know what to pray. Times when we felt just so emotionally exhausted, so spiritually drained, we can't string a coherent sentence together. Times when words fail us as we try to talk to God. At least that's been my experience, and I assume I'm not alone. And in those times when prayer is so desperately difficult, we need hope and we need help. We need hope and we need help. In hard times, we need encouragement to keep our faith alive. We need hope to keep praying. And we need help. We need God's assistance to keep persevering in prayer. God knows this, of course. And so in the Bible, in his word, he offers us the hope and the help that we need. Specifically today, we're looking at part of Romans 8, one of the most magnificent chapters in the whole Bible. And in there, God offers us the hope and the help we need to keep the faith and especially to keep on praying. To be precise, I think we find the hope we need in verses 18 to 25 today, and then the help we need is unpacked in verses 25 to 27. But before we look at them, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, help us to pray. As we look at this passage today, please share with us the hope and the help we need to keep on praying, to keep on in faith. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, apart from the royal wedding, one other thing you may have spotted on the news this week is that the TV presenter and personality Ben Fogle has reached the top of Mount Everest. The 44-year-old adventurer climbed all 29,000 feet to reach the summit of Everest on Wednesday this week. Now, needless to say, I've never climbed Everest myself, but surely one thing you would need to reach the summit is bags of hope, You see, as well as physical fitness and the right kit, surely you must need enormous emotional and psychological strength to keep putting one foot in front of another as you climb that enormous mountain. Surely you must have a picture in your mind's eye as you ascend towards the summit of yourself actually at the summit. You must have a picture in your mind of you being there at the top, arms aloft, waving your flag, celebrating the great accomplishment. Without that hope, without that vision in your mind's eye, surely you would give up the ascent long before you'd completed it. Without hope of success in your mind, surely you wouldn't get far beyond base camp before you abandoned the attempt to reach the summit of Everest or any other great mountain. And I think the same principle applies for us in the Christian life. We need hope. We need a vision of what is to come for us to keep going in faith and to keep going in prayer. We need hope to keep on praying when times are tough. After all, there's no doubt that there are tough times in life, aren't there? There is no doubting that we live in a very imperfect and fallen world. It's not just people's behaviour, but the whole of creation that sometimes displays the ugly consequences of sin. In verse 20 of our passage this morning, Paul explains that creation has been subject to frustration. It is in bondage to decay. In other words, Paul is reminding us, as if we needed reminding, that our present world is not perfect. Yes, it has many attractive features, especially on a beautiful spring day like today. But we all know it also includes futility, imperfection, and disorder. It's not just human beings and human bodies that have been tarnished by the fall. And so given the condition it's in, it's no surprise that Romans 8 tells us that creation needs repair and restoration. It needs to be liberated from its bondage to decay. It needs to be freed to become the glorious world God intended it to be. Interestingly, in verse 19 of our reading, Paul actually personifies the natural world, doesn't he? He says it waits in eager expectation of its future liberation and transformation. Like an excited child on Christmas morning, or like Prince Harry as he waited for Meghan Markle to come through the doors of St George's Chapel yesterday, the creation just can't wait to see what is to come. Creation can't wait for the day when God's people will be glorified and it too will be liberated from all its imperfections. And creation's confidence and excitement is well placed, because God has indeed promised to put things right. As far back as Old Testament times, God has made promises to one day rejuvenate and renew all of creation. This world of death, disease, and decay will one day be transformed, says Scripture, into one of uninhibited beauty, order, and harmony. Eden restored, you might say. A world where flowers will never wilt, where the lion will lay down with the lamb. But the best feature of this new creation to come, I think, the characteristic that should make us as Christians most excited, is that the world to come will include glory for all of God's people. As Paul explains in verse 19 today, in the world to come, Christians will be visibly revealed to be God's sons and daughters. You see, in our current world, Christians are rather camouflaged, aren't they? We look just the same as everyone else. But in the world to come, the Bible says, Christians will be glorious to behold. Yes, even you, even me. Our bodies will be redeemed and transformed, just as Jesus's was on Easter morning. Our new bodies, in that new creation to come, will be impervious to decay and destined to live forever. If we're Christians here this morning, that is your personal hope. That is our collective hope, our destiny. Eternal life, ruling over and in a renewed creation, is God's promise to his beloved children in Christ. That's why Paul can say with such confidence in verse 18 at the beginning of our reading this morning that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that is to come. Think how wonderful the future must be given the sufferings some people go through and are going through. Paul says they are not worth comparing to the glory to come. My word, that's a hope to hold on to, isn't it? As Paul puts it in verse 25, we hope for what we do not yet have, and we wait for it patiently. We wait for it in faith, you might say. It's a wonderful hope, a hope to hold on to, and a hope to share with those who don't yet know it, those non-Christians who are yet to hear about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. And the reason that hope is real, the reason we can hold on to that hope, is that it's grounded firmly on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. As Paul stresses repeatedly in Romans, the resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter morning was the first fruits, the foretaste of what God will do one glorious day to come. It's a foretaste of the glorification of every Christian, of all creation, that God will one day do for his people. As Paul writes in verse 11 of Romans 8, just before our reading this morning, he says, the Spirit of God, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies. Jesus' glorious resurrected body is no longer subject to death or decay, and one day neither will ours. Today and over the past few weeks, we've had a foretaste of summer, haven't we? We've had some warm weather, some sunny days, which give us just a foretaste of hopefully a long, hot summer to come. But on the first Easter Sunday, Jesus' first disciples were given a first glimpse of the glory that will one day be the privilege of every Christian believer. It's a hope to hold on to in hard times. It's a hope to keep our faith alive, a hope to keep us on in prayer. But as well as hope, there is help. Today on this Pentecost Sunday, I couldn't conclude our sermon series on prayer without talking about the help the Holy Spirit gives us as we pray. You see, not only does the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to stimulate every Christian to pray, he is also our advocate, our spokesman, our intermediary whenever we try to talk with God. You see, the truth is that we never talk to God. We never pray on our own. The Spirit is always at work within us, helping us to pray, and no more so than we're going through tough times. The same Spirit who will one day give every Christian a glorious new body is already at work in our hearts and minds today, amongst other things, helping us to pray. The Holy Spirit is the constant companion of every Christian, the indwelling comforter of every follower of the Lord Jesus. As Paul writes in verse 26 today, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You see, in tough times, our own prayers may be incoherent, repetitive, rambling. They may even be silent when we're lost for words. But today's passage reminds us that the Holy Spirit knows what is on our hearts, and he conveys our deepest needs to God the Father on our behalf. The Holy Spirit communicates to the Father for us when our own words of prayer are insufficient or incomplete, even silent. Like a translator or an interpreter or a legal advocate, the Spirit says to God what we would want to say if only we could find the right words. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pray, like a solicitor or barrister speaking in court on behalf of his or her client. The Holy Spirit speaks more eloquently and articulately to God than we ourselves ever could, especially in times of stress. And we can be completely sure that God the Father understands the prayers that the Spirit utters on our behalf, We need not worry that the Spirit's words to God fall on deaf ears. As Paul says in verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So next time you feel you lack the energy or enthusiasm to pray, ask God's Holy Spirit to give that to you. Next time you're unsure what to pray for, pray first for the Spirit to guide your prayers. And next time you find yourself completely lost for words when you want to pray, be confident that God still knows what you need. He still knows what's on your heart, because his Spirit is already interceding for you. So as I finish this morning, I hope Romans 8 has reminded us both of the hope and the help we have as Christians. A hope and a help to keep us praying when times are tough, when the immediate future looks bleak, when our own words fail us. On this Pentecost Sunday, we thank God for the gift of his Spirit, the one person who can truly help us to persevere in prayer, the one person who will one day take us to glory. And in that hope, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Spirit, a gift given to every believer. We long and hope for that glorious day when the Spirit will breathe new life into our mortal bodies. And in the meantime, may he help us to pray, especially when times are tough. For we ask this in the precious name of our risen Saviour, the ground of our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.